Psalm 145. Thank you, John and Jeanette.
Psalm 145. As you might know, I've been reading through the Psalms again, like you do, and I gave you that verse from this chapter, verse 18, I think, yeah. And I couldn't get it off my mind, so I went back and started studying it, and we're going to look at it tonight. This is called the Psalm of Praise. Praise means to revere or regard with great respect, tinged with awe. Respect with awe. That's why I despise using the term reverend in front of any man's name. Psalm 111 says reverent, holy and reverent is his name. Respect with awe, worship, give thanks. Here David reminds us of the many reasons, innumerable reasons, that we have to praise our God. Our God is good, yea, great. Great. And just you wait and see. No matter how bad things may seem, how evil some things may seem, it's all good, yea, great. We're going to see someday. We're going to know as we've been known. We're going to see it was all not just good. It was great. Great. Because our God is good. Our God is great. And our God can do no less than what is good and great and best for us. He says in verse 1, David says, I will extol thee, O God. I will extol. That means to praise highly. It means to bless. It means to, I will bless thy name forever and ever. I will. Do you? Oh, my. He says, I'll bless thy name. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. His name. How blessed you are, we are, if we bless his name and don't curse his name. You know how many people only use God's name to curse? We dare not do that. We fear his name, don't we? We make mention his name is exalted. We bless his name. We fear his name. We will never use his name in any way but thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory, right? Why? Because God's been so merciful to us, revealing himself to us. And he says, I will bless thee every day. Every day. Do you have... This is why Lamentations 3 says that it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His compassions, they fail. His mercies are new every morning. So every day we have cause to bless him, don't we? Because every day is another day of mercy and great. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The song says, streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Greatly to be praised. I know that term is bandied about and used so flippantly today, isn't it? Praise. You got your praise leaders and you praise this and you praise that. And our Lord said, this people draw near with their lips and their heart is far from it. But God's people, truly, from the heart, they praise him in spirit and in truth. We really do. Tell of his excellent greatness. Verse 3 says, his greatness is unsearchable. You can keep digging and this treasure keeps growing. You can keep searching and his ways are past finding out. Greatness. I love Ephesians 2 says in the time to come he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Great. Great. His greatness is unsearchable. God is great in his works of creation. He's great in his works of providence. He's great. The greatest work of all. Salvation. Verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation to another. Adam, tell us how merciful and how great the Lord has been to you. How gracious. Adam, tell us. He'd tell you 930 years The Lord was merciful to me. And I was so rebellious. Even I was so rebellious. But God, rich in mercy. Noah, tell us, Noah, how great is the Lord to you? Oh, he chose me and my family out of billions. Oh, great mercy and grace. One generation shall tell another. Jacob, tell us. Jacob, tell us something about the Lord's greatness to you. Oh, great grace. I love what Jacob said. He says, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all the truth that you've shown me. Simon Peter, tell us, how great is the Lord to you? How merciful has the Lord been to you? Oh, he said, you know how many boats were in that harbor that day? And he called me and my brother Andrew. Mary Magdalene, tell us, how great is the Lord to you? Oh my, he cast out 7 devils from me. Tell us, brother, sister, tell us. Can you tell something of the greatness of the Lord to you? One generation shall speak of his works to another and shall declare his mighty act. David says, I will. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. That's some line, isn't it? The glorious honor of thy majesty. Another reason I don't like to call kings and queen your majesty. I think that only belongs to our Lord. Majesty, the glorious honor of thy majesty. Majesty means supreme greatness. That's what it means. Majesty means sovereignty, royalty, loftiness, dignity, character, grandeur. Now, who does that belong to? Who does that title belong to but our God? The glorious honor of thy majesty. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glory's crown. His lips with grace o'erflow. This is a song that we're looking at tonight. And everything ascribes greatness to him. And his glorious honor of his majesty. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. The glorious honor of his majesty. Yes, let's bow the knee to his majesty. Oh my. Verse 5 says, and of thy wondrous works, as we said, creation. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The things that are made by without things that are seen declare his eternal power and Godhead, don't they? His providence. Oh, how great. We read on down there in verse 16. He opens his 15. He gives to everything their meat in due season. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Great in his providence. You know how much food it takes to feed all the living things on this planet? And he just keeps feeding it. Just keep feeding it. His salvation, though, that's his greatest work. Greatest of all. The margin here in verse 5, this is why I love this version. It says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous words. You see that? My wondrous things. Words. He's magnified his word above all his name, as Scripture said. The more we look into God's word, the more glorious it is in it. Unsearchable. His words. It's amazing, marvelous. The word of God. Verse 6 says, men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. Well, you don't hear that language anymore. Would you turn to one place with me? Exodus 34. Go over there. Exodus 34. See what this is the first time terrible is used. Exodus 34. And while you're turning, let me read to you a couple of other scriptures. Psalm 99, verse 3 says, of Zion, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And then Psalm 68, verse 35 says this. It says, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. Now, that's an unheard of reference to God, isn't it, today? Exodus 34, look at this. This is the first time it's used, and he's speaking to Moses about on the mountain. In verse 10, he says, God said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Now don't think of terrible as something awful. Well, awful is not a bad biblical word, isn't it? Full of awe, what that means. We think of these terms as being something bad. But the Lord is talking about himself, and he says his name is terrible. What it means is it incites fear, terror, reverence, fright mingled with amazement. Let me give you a few illustrations. Have you ever been up on a high precipice on a mountain? We took the girls to, what's the name of the? Maccabees Knob. If you go walk out to the edge there. It fills you with terror, doesn't it? But it's awe. It's amazement. It's beauty and glory tinged with fear. You understand? And this is our God. Have you ever been when the ocean is wow, the waves are crashing? I have. And Mindy and I rode out a hurricane one time down in Florida. And the trees were laying flat. And the wind was just a roaring wind. It's terrible. Yet I couldn't. I was amazed. I was filled with awe. I was filled with worship. Terror mingled with amazement. Have you ever been at a waterfall? Anybody been to Niagara Falls or somewhere like that? Huh? Scripture says God's voice is the sound of many waters like that. Roaring. Yet wonderful. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Trying to describe God's terribleness in a way, such a way that we might be in awe of it. Thunder, lightning. I'm a little different than most. When it starts thundering or lightning, I get out in it. It's amazement. Nothing more powerful on this earth coming from heaven than a bolt of lightning. Oh, that's our God, isn't it? Amazement. That's our God. All he is, all he does, terrible. Fear, yet awe and amazement and wonder, and yes, love. We love that he is so. Now, go back to our text. It says in verse 7 that all God's people, men, shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. When God said to Moses on the mount, Moses said, show me your glory. Remember? And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to declare the name of the Lord God, gracious, merciful. He said, there's a place by me. I'm going to put you on the rock, stand on the rock. And he said, I'm going to put you in the rock. What is all that? What is God's goodness? What is God's greatest goodness? He made all his goodness pass before. We see at Bethlehem's manger. You see that child? That's the goodness of God. You see that man walking this earth, teaching, preaching, healing, saving sinners? That's the goodness of God. The mercy of God. You see him hanging on Calvary's tree. taking the blame for something he did not do and giving them his righteousness. That's the goodness of God. That's the gospel of God. And it says in verse 7, they shall sing of thy righteousness. That's a foreign term today, is it? Oh, not to God's people. It's on their lips. It's in their heart. They sing of his righteousness. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dread. These are songs that we sing from the heart because we know that Jesus Christ is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. We know that, don't we? David said, I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Only God's people sing that. Our God is righteous. He loveth righteousness. All he does is good and just and pure and lovely and holy. The judge of the earth is righteous. He does what's right. He speaketh right thing. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of our sin, because of our sin, to make us righteous. Now, isn't that righteous? So good, so righteous. His great work of redemption. He made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, we'll sing of his righteousness. Not our own. So he goes on to say in verse 8, the Lord, here's what the Lord is. He's gracious. Grace means giving. That he giveth and giveth and giveth more grace. What do we have not received? Where do we get it? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. From the Father of lights, of whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Meaning he will never quit giving. He is gracious. The Lord is. That's what he is. He giveth, and giveth more grace. And he's full, verse 8, of compassion. Oh, compassion is a sweet word. It means to feel for, have deep inner feelings for. Full of compassion. For me, a sinner? Yeah. Faithful saying, that's who he came to say. He's slow to anger. Oh, aren't you glad about that? Slow to anger. We provoke him just like the children of Israel in Psalm 107 and other places. They provoked him, they provoked him, they provoked him. They never quit provoking him. But he's slow to anger, slow to wrath. Slow to anger, of great mercy, great in his mercy, full of mercy. That's the thing I need the most, and that's what God delights to do. One of my favorite verses, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and knows the hope in his mercy. I fear him. By his grace, I fear him. I really do. I stand in awe of him. I think he's terrible. I'm smiling when I'm saying that. Don't you? You understand a little bit more about what that means then. I think he's terrible and I love it. And great mercy. The Lord is good to all. Verse 9. His tender mercies are over all his works. How good is he? How tender are his mercies? Men, women, young people. Everything that hath breath ought to praise him, but don't. And yet he keeps on giving. He keeps on doing. He's kind. He's kind. He's merciful to the unjust as well as the just. His rain falls on the unjust as well as the just. So, his tender mercies. Scripture says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's another verse. He speaks like us. He says, why will you die? Why will you die? Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Everything that God has made gives praise to him. The elements give praise to him, don't they? The plants, the animals, everything, except man. But the saints do. The saints bless him. They bow the knee. That's what blessed me. They bow the knee. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess, and whether voluntarily or not, they're going to. God's people, saints. means sanctified one. It means set apart. It means chosen by God, separated from others to know Him and bless Him. We've been separated, sanctified by God to bless, not curse, to thank, not complain, to worship, not blaspheme. How blessed we are. The saints bless Him. I don't think we really realize how blessed we are that we're not cursing God. That we're in here tonight blessing His holy name. I really don't. Someday we will. When we see the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, then, Lord, shall I know, and not till then, how much I owe. God chose me and separated me, plucked as a brand from the burning. To do what? Praise Him. Read on. It says, verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. God's kingdom. It's glorious. Something of the gospel of the kingdom, we know. Something of the things that are not seen, we've seen a little bit, but not as we will. And it says, they'll talk of thy power. Verse 11, they'll talk of thy power. Oh my, the power of God, the creative power. Heavens declare His glory. The word of His power. We talk about the word of His power. The gospel is His power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. We talk of men are impressed with men and various things that men think are powerful. We're impressed with the gospel that is the power of God. The gospel that saved a wretch like me. The gospel power that controls the wills and the hearts, and that turns and changes, takes away the stony heart, gives a heart of flesh. It makes a man who said, I will not, makes him willing in the day of his power. That's power. If you can control men's wills and hearts and mind, that's power. And that's our God. I'm so thankful He exerted that power. Men say He won't go against your will. He won't violate your will. He better. He better, or you're a goner. And it takes great power to do that, doesn't it? I can't convince you. I can't make you do anything. Most of you are older than me. No, some of you are. But I can't convince you. You can't convince me of anything. But God can and must and does. So that's power. That's power. So we pray to Him. We don't try to convince people of anything. We don't try to whatever. We don't use tactics and all that. We use the gospel that is the power of God and salvation. And we pray, Lord, exert Your mighty power as You did to me upon them. He did. He says in verse 12, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, the glory, there it is again, He can't quit saying, the glorious majesty of His kingdom. We're going to see, Arma. We're going to see. We're going to be there. We're going to be there when our Lord sends that throne. We're going to be like Queen of Sheba. Remember she saw Solomon ascend that throne? She says, there's no more spirit left there. And when we see our Lord Jesus Christ ascend His throne and all His subjects there in that kingdom, oh my, it's going to be something. And of that, I can't rightly speak much, man. Oh, thy kingdom, it says in verse 13, is an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Kings and rulers and emperors and presidents come and go, don't they? We vote them in, we vote them out. We shoot them, we impeach them. They don't last long, do they? Our king reigns forever and ever. And every one of these that have been put into office, He put them there. So, what are we worried about? Thy God reigneth. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, reigneth forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Look at this. Now here's what all the Lord doth. We've seen what He is and what He doth. Verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. He upholdeth all that fall. Listen to Psalm 37. Don't you love this? It says in verse 23 and 24, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In Proverbs 24, it says, though a just man falleth seven times, he riseth. Oh, we fall all the time, don't we? Well, how do we get back up? The Lord picks us up. He upholdeth all them that fall. He raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Oh, we get bowed down, don't we? With sin, with guilt, with shame. We get bowed down with sorrow, worry, fear. We get bowed down. Down, don't we? Well, he raises us up. How does he do that? How does he pick us back up? How does he raise us up? What is it that quickens us? The word of his power, the gospel, same power. Always. That's why we keep coming here. We crawl in here and we fly out, don't we? We come in here weak and sickly and we go out healed. We come in here fallen, sinful, and we go out. Forgiven, pardoned, here in the gospel. He says in verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, satisfy the desire of every living thing. Like I said, how much food it takes. I read one time, you know, whales are amazing, aren't they? Leviathan. That's what the Lord spoke to Job about, didn't he? Have you said, can you catch one with a hook? The Lord said, I can. That's what God said. But anyway, he speaks of him. Do you know how much fish that one great sperm whale eats? Do you know? Thousands of tons a day. What? Surely the ocean's going to run out of fish. Nope. Mm-mm. God feeds them. And we're worried about our next... Oh, no. He opened his hand. All wait upon him. He gives them their meat in due season. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. What is it that we desire? Well, that's verse 18. Let me go on down here. It says in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's holy in all his work. Righteous, holy, that means he does right in every situation, in every case, concerning every person. He's right. He can't do wrong. Don't you love that about him? He's just. He's holy. He's right. He's not. There's no evil in. There's no sin in. What's the word? He's just right. Vindictive. There's none of that in him. No malice. He's righteous. He's holy. And again, it's this thing that causes fear and yet causes love and amazement and thanksgiving. The Lord is righteous. He's holy in all his ways. Holy means everything we're not. Merciful, bountiful, gracious, holy. The word holy often means other than. He's other than. Altogether unlike man. The Lord, verse 18, here's our verse. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Listen to Psalm 138. It says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. To this man will I look, the Lord said. He is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. He said, I dwell in a high and holy place with him that is broken and contrite heart. He's nigh unto all them that all that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. He's nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth, that is in sincerity, truly calling on the Lord for mercy, for grace, for help, for wisdom. But truth, as you know, is Jesus Christ. He's the truth. All that call upon him in Christ. Christ said, ask the Father, whatever you ask him in my name, he'll hear you. Knowing we're sinners, knowing that Christ came to save sinners, believing, trusting, looking to Christ alone, we really do, don't we? And so we call on this holy and righteous and just God who is terrible, and we call upon him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And we call upon him, Lord God in heaven, have mercy upon me for Christ's sake. You know, he just delights to do that. He said, I'll be near you. Near, nigh, and all that call upon him. That's about all I can do. That's about all I can do. Help. He says he's nigh. Always nigh. Them that call upon him in truth. Verse 19, here it is. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He'll hear their cry. He'll save them. He'll fulfill the desire of them that fear him. What is your desire? Tell me what your greatest desire is. Come on now. From the heart. Can you not say with David, one thing am I desiring? Can you not? Really, dig down deep now. Every child of God is a man after God's own heart. They have the heart of David. They have the heart of God. God sheds abroad in them his love for Christ, for righteousness. And every single child of God from the heart can say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in his temple. You say that? One thing, Paul said, This one thing I do. I press toward the mark for the prize, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. I want to win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I might know him. Fellowship of his suffering. Can you say that? All of God's people do. The world can't say that. But all of God's people. He will fulfill that desire of them that fear him. He will. And it says he will hear their cry. Every time you hear their cry, David said, my tears are in your bottle, Lord. Every tear he ever cried, every cry he ever cried, the Lord heard it. And look at these three words, four, and will save them. He will save them. He'll fulfill their desire. You'll hear their cry and we'll save them. You remember the message old Jacob, when Jacob was dying, he said, don't bury me in Egypt. Remember that? Oh, I look back with fondness. Jacob said, don't bury me in Egypt. Take me out of here. When you leave, take me out with you. And don't you say, Lord, when you come for your people, don't leave me here. And you know what he said? In John chapter 6, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone seeth the Son and believeth on him should not perish, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will. I ain't leaving you behind. Not one hoof will be left behind. Not one person. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate, shall be abandoned. So-and-so's calling on you. We don't need him. Let's go on. No. Every single person that calls on me is coming with us. Every single one that believes, he will save them. Isn't that good news? Read on. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. shall preserve thy soul. He preserveth all them that love him. Do you love him? Do you love his person? Do you love his word? Do you love his gospel? Do you love his kingdom? Do you love his people? Do you love his salvation? Do you love his glory? Do you love his glory? Do you love to hear him glorified and honored? His truth. Do you love his truth? Oh, he'll preserve all them that love him and all the wicked. This is the only negative. This is the only reference to judgment. The wicked. Who's the wicked? It's those that don't fear God. Those that don't worship God. Whether it be religious or irreligious. Don't give him his glory. Don't give him his due. The wicked he will destroy. He'll destroy. My mouth. So he ends this way. He begins with blessing his name, and he ends with blessing his name. And the next five psalms begin with praise and end with praise. All these end psalms begin and end with praise. David said to begin with, I will bless thy name forever and ever. And in verse 21, he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.